Information-fueled, opinion-driven. This is the Michael DelGiorno Show, Super Talk 99.7.
Oh, Brother Ken.
Yes, Brother Michael.
We will get to the hootie-doo. Let me say that slower. Who he did. With Donald Trump in a little bit. If I get one criticism, hey, why don't you do more sound? Sound. Sound takes time is really the only reason why I usually don't do it. I mean, I can play you a 3-minute Roseanne clip, but really I want to talk about 3 seconds of what she says and just, you know, kind of use her as an example to make a point and a much longer, bigger teachable moment and point. So that's why I don't, you know, do it so much. I notice when I fill in for Savage, you know, they send me this big sound sheet. Do the sound.
Play the sound.
And the sounds are like 58 seconds, a minute and 26 seconds. You know, and I only got so much time in a segment. It's not like we can just talk and talk forever. And you got play. You're sitting in your car. You're going to get out and walk into a business. I'm going to lose you. So I always feel like I'm trying to make a point while I got you, kind of a thing. And that's why I don't. But I do think this is a moment where I can score points with management and do some sound.
Well, you're going to kill two birds with one stone.
That's what I'm saying. Roseanne's a great example because we have these moments, don't we, where, you know, how bad is the world? How bad is media bias? How bad is politics that Roseanne is the one speaking the truth? You know what I mean? There's something about that, right? And so she's on with Jimmy Kimmel. Now, lower than low. I mean, you watch MSNBC, and I get it. I get it from their perspective, too. I watch Fox sometimes, especially when it's Laura Ingraham and Sean Hannity, of which I have complete agreement with them. Don't get me wrong. I just wouldn't make my living every day defending this person no matter what and condemning that person no matter what. But maybe that's why they got better ratings than I do. I don't know. But I mean, MSNBC, CNN, they're shameless. ABC, NBC, Washington Post. I could go on and on. They're shameless. But there's nobody more shameless. Nobody who has hijacked, I think, more. I mean, I could make the case for why a 24-hour news cycle information station would get into a polarizing position of analysis. In other words, I can make the leap of CNN becoming a ridiculous establishment Democrat network, or MSNBC, a shill for all things crazy socialist liberal. How did we go from Jack Parr and Johnny Carson? I'm leaving out the guy that was the Tonight Show, Allen.
Steve Allen.
How do we go from Jack Parr, Steve Allen, Johnny Carson, even for the most of the career of David Letterman, to what we have now? Colbert, Kimmel, many nights Jimmy Fallon. I mean, it's a joke. Now, you can go back and watch old Tonight shows. They're not going to be irrelevant when it comes to politics. But it was always done in fun. This is a obsession and moment by moment hate and attack. So there's two things in this audio clip that is worth the time. One, yes, be struck by the fact that, you know, the old crazy Roseanne is now conservative insane. The old Roseanne who would say crazy nutty things is now actually the only one on the set saying anything truthful. And look how far these hosts have come. And she gives him an ultimate zinger on that. But then she even, there's an actually very profound moment not to miss where she actually says something that is very, very true and I teach very, very often. It's why I have a lifelong fascination, if not obsession, with John F. Kennedy. Because if John F. By the way, you can't even get outside the family tree with Kennedy. How does John F. Kennedy come out of the same womb as Ted? Or find his closest confidant, Bobby. who we know later would go far left of Jack the minute Jack's dead. You want to talk about a profile in courage, which if you've never read JFK's book, Profile in Courage, you should. He was it. Raised by a father with an agenda to get his son to be president of the United States and carry out his puppetry. But his chosen son gets killed in war. And the one that does become president is opposite of everything that father is. From watching him in enormous ignorance and failure in Europe. John F. Kennedy was first and foremost a profile of his own courage and his family. And then within his party. History just loses this and doesn't even acknowledge it. Democrats hated Kennedy. He was too conservative for Democrats then. And Democrats then are right of Republicans today. I mean, don't miss this. Now, my profound point to you is the Democrat Party has gone so far left. It's an exact overlay of the Socialist Party of 1920. Actually, left of it now. But it's drugged the country with it. And the Republican Party with it. And as I taught weeks ago, what happens if John F. Kennedy doesn't get shot? What happens if he finishes that first term, wins re-election in two terms? Where's the Democrat Party today? You wouldn't have Bernie Sanders. I don't think you'd have Hillary Clinton. You might have had Bill Clinton still. Never would have had Jimmy Carter. Never, ever would have had Barack Obama. It's profound. Now, I'm all about the founding fathers. And I'd like to go back all the way to Washington and not have either of these parties. Don't get me wrong. But we did have them. We do have them. And that shot in Daley Plaza took that party to the left. Lyndon Johnson, you get the Great Society to bookend the New Deal of Roosevelt, and took America with it. So what is really at stake? That somebody like Donald Trump, just like somebody like Ronald Reagan, can awaken our intent, awaken our principled values, and undo their infiltration, indoctrination, and progression of progressive socialist creep. That Donald Trump in 4 years could erase not only what Barack Obama radically achieved in 8, but what they have in 30. So listen as Roseanne finally looks this guy in the eye and says, wait a minute. What do you mean? Because first of all, the thought that Jimmy Kimmel is so stupid that he would literally say, what happened to you? You used to be so liberal. Why didn't he just say, you used to be so left like us? Because let me tell you something as somebody who uses humor a lot. You can always figure out a comedian's beliefs. It's in all of his material based on the thing. In other words, that trigger of that funny line, because they'll like to hide behind it and say, well, it was just a funny line to say at that moment. No, your mind is there and you're thinking that and it's triggering that because that's your beliefs. So this is Jimmy Kimmel looking at her like a nut because he's an elite leftist hater of Trump. And why isn't she? I mean, think of how appalling the question is, especially on a show like that. It's disgusting. That's why I don't watch any of them. It's why I think I despise them the most out of everyone. So it's a hell of a thing when Roseanne Barr is speaking for us and making sense. How dumb's the room when she's the smartest? How immoral is the room? How biased is the room when she's the most frank and honest? Would you cue it up to so I know? It's like doing a film clip. Yeah, we got to shut up.
It's right before she makes the point about Pence.
Do you have, I think that, is that before or after? I wanted to start with where he asked her the question, what happened to you? You used to be so liberal. Is that,
I think that's before where I have it.
All right, well, let me give you the first clip while you have it queued up. This is what everybody's talking about. And this looks like out of context that Roseanne doesn't believe in Trump and is just simply cracking a joke. What, you want Pence? That's like saying, well, you don't like Reagan, an actor? You don't want Quayle, do you? Then zip your lip up. But in context, she actually defends Trump for most of the interview and makes a very revealing point of their bias. And she makes a very profound political point about the hour in which we live, which takes me back to all of my teachable moments. But here's the first one that everyone's going to talk about. They're all bleeped. You know, Roseanne uses a lot of F words. And then I want to make a point about Roseanne's new show, too. But here's the first clip.
A lot of us, you know, no matter who we voted for, we don't want to see our president fail.
Right.
You know?
Right. I know.
Because we don't want Pence.
And yet we've seen it f-ing over again.
You want Pence? You want Pence for friggin' president?
No, I don't want him either.
Well, then zip that
f-ing All right. So... But the earlier one is the more profound. I will say this about watching John Goodman and her last night. Now, I go full circle, like American Idol. I was like, I have no interest. This show is done. Why are you bringing it back? What makes you think magically anything's going to be different on a different network and with different judges? Then I watched it, and I was like, wow, it is way better. And it's still tanked in the ratings. And watching this interview on a side shallow note while we're queuing up this other clip, I will say this, this show looks like, I mean, to see these people 20 years later, I mean, they show a clip at the beginning of this Kimmel episode, and, Roseanne and Dan are divvying up their pills because healthcare has failed. So they get half the amount of pills for twice as much money. They start trading anti-inflammatories for statins. It's really a hilarious scene. And I thought to myself, wait a minute, have I been wrong about Roseanne too? I mean, is it possible? Because I'll tell you what, the clip looked very relevant, very funny, and now they're getting close to like All in the Family. Now it becomes more of a revisit of All in the Family politically than it does Roseanne politically. And I'm thinking, maybe we're wrong about Roseanne. Maybe Roseanne is about to become a really big hit. I mean, never underestimate the talent of Roseanne and John Goodman. But so the clips looked really good. I thought this was the most revealing moment. For those of you like me, in short, I'll say it this way, who despise late night talk and what it's become, inappropriately become, and how shamelessly hateful and biased it is. What a revealing thing to come out of Jimmy Kimmel's lips. And what a great slap across the face from Roseanne last night.
I'm shocked because I know you were a very liberal, socially liberal person in general. I mean,
I'm still the same. You all moved.
We did?
You all went so far out, you lost everybody. I mean, seriously.
You're probably right, by the way.
A lot of your audience, and including me, I just want to say this, Jimmy. A lot of us, you know, no matter who we voted for, we don't want to see our president fail.
Now you get the context. All right, so you can get... I thought it was a fascinating visit. I thought it was very revealing of late night hosts. I don't think there was anything... Let me rephrase it this way. I don't think there was anything last night or in the afternoon taping of that show that would dictate every bit of focus being how to make fun of the president, how to demise the president, how to destroy the president. That's just blind hatred. You've got John Goodman and Roseanne Barr bringing back an iconic sitcom. Can you? Will it work? How much is the show? All the things he could have talked about. And what is he doing? He made the whole focus of the interview Trump. I thought it was very revealing of him, very revealing of how dumbed down we've become that Roseanne Barr is the voice of wisdom in the room. That ought to tell you a lot about the room. And that's why it was my audio of the day. When it comes to the president, when we continue, look, if we're all honest, I don't think there's anybody in this room or anybody listening to me right now that doesn't think he probably slept with this porn star. I don't think there's anybody in this room that doubts for a second he probably had an affair with this Playboy bunny. I don't think there's anybody that thinks, for some reason, that this president's moral failures are necessarily impeachable. But are they relevant? Can they impact the midterm election? Is effectiveness the remainder of this term and getting a second term? I mean, that's really where you cut to the chase. And I would say two things to you, and we'll dust it out more long form and with more detail so you know what everybody's coming at him with. I don't take my moral cues from anybody, and a guy that's been married 3 times is not anybody I'm role modeling for marriage anyway. And being president of the United States and being a great example morally don't have to be the same. but nor do I feel a reason to sweep it politically conveniently under the rug. And I think the thing you're going to see different about me is I'm going to remain principled. I'm not going to be unprincipled for political convenience. That's why I look you in the eye and say Barack Obama was a narcissist, and that had danger. But so is Donald Trump, and it has danger. Narcissism isn't any less dangerous or any more attractive when it's Donald Trump being a narcissist versus Barack Obama. Or I'm going to look you in the eye and say, listen, you're the president of the United States, and character and moral judgment does tend to bleed over. We saw that with our mayor. Into other judgments. It does matter. And I am not going to inconsistently rake Bill Clinton over the coals, but give Trump a free ride. That's being political over principled. Disingenuous versus genuine. And I'm not going there. Cutting through all that crap, I would tell you, I think his sins of the past, his immorality of the past, has a window for these people who hate him, in that his lying about it is in the presence. In the present. So you can say, well, Bill Clinton had sex in the Oval Office and then lied under oath while president. That's different. Okay, this sex clearly was before he was running for president or president. But if he's been lying about it while president, there is something sticky there and something worth noting. If we're going to understand not only what's happening today in the news, but what could possibly become of it. 10:42, 18 minutes before 11 o'clock. Information fueled, opinion driven. That is Super Talk 99.7 WTN. I'm Michael DelGiorno. It's cloudy. We got PM showers arriving. 55 for a high. It's 51 now. I'm beginning to wonder if I'm ever going to golf again.
You ever. May not.
As long as I live.
Yeah, it's there's a chance for rain for the foreseeable future.
Well, you know, I'm trying to get my basketball court in the backyard resurfaced.
Right.
And you can't go below 40 degrees at night, which I don't think that's happened yet. We've been below 40 every single night.
Yep.
So far this year, it seems. And then you got to have at least a day or two without rain. I mean, it's like becoming impossible to schedule. And then every time I had one window to golf, and it was golf or watch Syracuse. And how many times am I going to get a chance to see Syracuse play to get into the Sweet 16? So, you know, it's like I give up.
You're going to have to knit yourself a blanket and start playing chess.
I don't know what indoor fun, I guess. You're right. Last night, it was very much like the movie Hoosiers. The uniforms even looked the same. No Gene Hackman, a 98-year-old nun named Jean, but Loyola shocked the world 69-68 over Nevada. They've advanced to the Elite Eight. It was 9 K-State, not 5 Kentucky Wildcats advancing 61-58. I said this earlier, and I'll stress it again. I think all of us are guilty of overlooking Michigan and Florida State or realizing just how good they are, because they continue to just mow down people. Michigan ended up winning 99-72 over Texas A&M. And that was coasting. That was like with the guys that have never taken their warm-up off all year long,
yeah,
finishing the game. Florida State 9 over 4 Gonzaga, 75-60. So nothing but surprises last night. What does today hold? Kansas, a number one seed against Clemson at 6:07 on CBS. West Virginia, Villanova, 6:27 on TBS. The Cuse and Duke, 8:37 on CBS. And Texas Tech and Purdue will wrap things up tonight. And after that, we're down to 8. What did we start with? 68 or more?
64. Well, yeah, 68. Yeah.
Yeah, so, and we'll be down to 8. And who'd have thought? Loyola of Chicago.
Man.
And the Preds, I told you, I think it was encouraging to see us look human and lose.
Yeah.
And it adds a little, you know, I feel like I don't, sometimes I don't, who are we playing? We'll win. I'm not watching. So it's good to, you know, throw in a loss now and then. Just be nice to other people in the NHL.
Fortunately, there's not many mouthy Toronto fans running around in Nashville.
Yo, if it's the Hawks, bury them.
Yeah, exactly.
We lost 5-2. We play tomorrow night in Minnesota at 7 o'clock on Fox South TM. All right. Behind every headline is a story, and behind every story, there's so much to talk about. Let's start with McMaster being out and Bolton being in. Another change. Let me circle the word change and have a little conversation. People are going to speculate and read a lot in, and they're not necessarily ignorant in doing so. Rubber's about to meet the road with North Korea. Rubber's about to meet the road with Iran. Could this be a shift to somebody the president trusts? Could this be about, you know, the president loves everybody that's working for him until they finally disagree, and sooner or later they will, and then he just fires him? Well, the latter would be far more troubling, wouldn't it? I mean, at some point, I use this analogy filling in for Michael Savage. In my 35 years of radio, I've seen a lot of bad hires. What I've seen more than bad hires is bad casting. You know, just putting a good person who could be successful in the wrong place. I mean, there is a difference between a bad hire and bad casting. Now, everybody, including me, have had surprises. Man, I just, you know, everything. I didn't see that. Everything pointed to this, this, and this. And yet, you know. But if you start consistently having turnover, consistently having bad hires, consistently having to make changes, well, I no longer blame the bad hires. I blame the bad hiring. All right? So, you know, one of the things that concerns me, these constant shakeups that a lot of people like, oh, he's draining the swamp. No, that's his swamp. I often say one of the things that kind of weeds itself out is somebody who would be a really bad governor or somebody who would be a really bad president. They weed themselves out because they're a really bad candidate first. I mean, if you can't run your campaign, you certainly are not qualified to run the office you're seeking. It kind of really self-solves itself. And so people with bad judgment, or maybe not bad judgment, purposeful, destructive judgment, I always want to be the smartest person in the room. So I'm going to surround myself with people that know less than me. Well, you're not going to go as far. It's very self-destructive. It is my goal, it is my hope, and it is my horrific reality if I'm the smartest person in a room. So, for whatever reason, it's starting to be this is just my opinion, and it's not worth any more than yours. Every time I hear a change, regardless of what it is, I'm suspicious. It's that Donald Trump is still forgetting he's not the head of Trump Enterprise. He's the president of the United States. And so I'm sensing narcissism and a guy who's run his own business and has always just, whenever he doesn't like what somebody says, he fires them. Get away with that in business. But becomes very troublesome and very dangerous as president. So my first suspicion is, sooner or later, somebody disagrees with him, and that's how he handles it. Sooner or later, you have so many of these changes that it starts reflecting on you. Now, in this particular case, I will take Bolton over McMaster. But that doesn't change the principle of what I just said. Would someone be right to say, maybe things are about to get a little tougher and he needs a little tougher advisor, a little trickier, and he needs somebody a little wiser? I don't know. And nor does anybody else on radio, television, or print. They'd be speculating or guessing. I have a lot of confidence in John Bolton. But by the same token, this constant turnover, in my mind and in my opinion, is a bad reflection on the president. And I don't know who he thinks he's fooling, but, you know, that's a big part. Once you win an election, that's a huge thing you do. You put together a cabinet. And all you're showing me with all these changes is you didn't do that well. Not much, that much has changed in a year and a half to have this much turnover. I think the president should move forward with caution in all these turnovers. Now to China we go. The president announces tariffs against China. That sent the market crashing yesterday. I don't know if you noticed, but I did, down 700 points. Oh, it'll come back. Well, I got to tell you something. There's a scary trend. The scary trend is we have down 700, down 1,000, down 1,400 point days, and then we slowly creep and get 400 or 500 of it back over the next few weeks, but we're not completely recovering. So at our highest point, we were at 26,000 with the Dow alone. We're now at 23.8. So it's not coming back. Now, maybe in the course of 100 days, or 400 days, it will. But don't fool yourself. And we're down another 75 points today. The high for NASDAQ was 71.94. The 52-week high, 76. The NASDAQ is down 400 or 500 points. The Dow is down a couple thousand. I mean, now I will defend the president in this. Sometimes the same president who goes, well, I'd beat up Joe Biden, and then Joe Biden comes back, my dad will beat your dad up, and then Trump comes back, well, my grandfather will beat your grandfather up. I mean, somebody that's stupid and childish is the same one that's holding tough and is right on China. And it may create some bumps in the Dow, but in the long run, it'll be in the best interest for America. Now, he's not running a company and having a tough negotiation that nobody knows about. He's the president of the United States, and so we're going to go through some rough spots. But if we come out the other end, we'll be better for it. But if you don't know what happened, the president announced tariffs against China, who turned right around and vowed to retaliate, and that caused the Dow plummeting. Trump said the U.S. will impose tariffs on Chinese products worth $60 billion a year in imports, as well as restrict Chinese investment. This is to punish them for stealing American technology. Well, Dow closed down 724 points. But in the long run, if we start holding our own and doing what is right and not one-sided, anybody can have no courage. Anybody can talk a good game but do nothing and let status quo play out. But they're playing with the value of the dollar. They're playing unfairly. And somebody has a right to stick up for us and our products. Saudi Arabia didn't like it when we started producing our own oil either. But it levels out eventually. So on the turnover, careful, it's starting to mount and it's starting to reflect on you. On China, yeah, stick to your guns. In the long run, it'll be best for America. In the short run, we're going to have some bumps. And now we get to the nonsense, right? The left is tenacious. They're transparently and brazenly biased. They are not going to give up. They are not going to accept the outcome of the American people's election, and they're going to do everything they can to hate and try to destroy this presidency because they're trying to protect the progressive ground they've gained. I don't think they got much on the Russia side. So the women thing, it's back. It hasn't worked yet. But where is it headed? And it's equally news today, so we'll address it.